Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Queen of Hearts by Whitney Dineen, narrated by Devon Sorvery and Wayne Mitchell. Chapter 1. Amelia. Not everyone can say their daughter is working for the future king. While Amelia certainly had those bragging rights about Agnes, it does little to settle her. Perhaps she'd feel better after she did a little research about Prince Andrew. Picking up an elegant World magazine sitting on the coffee table in front of her, Amelia flips through its pages until she finds the article written about the Crown Prince of Malqar. Settling her teacup on the Queen Anne side table, she starts to read, hoping to discover more about the kind of man Agnes is working for. Prince Andrew of Malqar is a conundrum to the European community. He is of an age where his parents are surely expecting him to wed, 36, and there is a plethora of young and not-so-young ladies alike that would love to be his wife, yet there are no signs of him settling down. While all of Europe has delighted in the romances of the Malqarian royals, none of those unions are nearly as exciting as learning who their future queen will be. The current and beloved monarch, Queen Charlotte, was not of royal or even genteel birth. She was the daughter of a humble florist. Her modest beginnings surely give hope to all the young ladies of the realm. If only Andrew would start looking. Although the prince has been linked with the likes of Princess Arpel of Chandry, Lady Helen Swank of Wales, and Charmaine d'Acquoise, daughter to shipping tycoon Hermès d'Acquoise, none of the ladies has been escorted by the prince on more than 3 occasions. The 4th date appears to be the magic number that firmly declares intent of a serious connection. In recent months, we've watched Andrew take on more and more royal responsibilities, as King Alfred has declared that he'd like to spend more time with his wife. While we applaud the king for his ongoing love affair with his queen, we can't help but wonder what's taking Andrew so long to find his own. A zing of anticipation shoots through Amelia as she studies the many glossy photographs that accompany the article. None of the women the prince has dated can hold a candle to her daughter in beauty or elegance. Agnes is as tall and slim as a fashion model. With her delicate features and naturally platinum blonde hair, Andrew would have to be blind not to take notice of her. Picking up the telephone on the table in front of her, Amelia dials the number for her new friend and neighbor of many years.
Jackie, it's me. Didn't you say something about Queen Charlotte wanting to get together for tea?
Agnes. Sir, I have the update you requested on Macmillan. In the month that I've been Prince Andrew's secretary, I can count on one hand the number of times he's looked at me when I'm speaking. Currently, I'm attempting to communicate with his back, waving his hand in the air in what can only be construed as a dismissive manner. He says, "Leave it on my desk and I'll read it later." It's not a written update. Try as I might, I can't keep the edge from my voice. While the rest of the royal family treat me kindly, Andrew has never been so inclined. He acts like I'm his own personal robot who doesn't require basic courtesy. He continues to face the window, allowing me the opportunity to study him. He's taller than most, at 3 inches over 6 feet, with proud, broad shoulders and short, dark hair so thick a bird could nest in it. There's something about my new boss's appearance that brings to mind Disney's Prince Charming. It was Cinderella who had the bird fetish, right?
Then put it in writing and leave it on my desk. The sharpness of his tone snatches me from the precipice of the illusion that Andrew might have Charming's personality. No, nothing charming here. Yes, sir. I shift on my heels as I start to feel a blister forming. These infernal stilettos. I could wear sporting shoes to work for all Prince Andrew would ever notice. Will that be all, sir? He abruptly turns around and glares at me, his penetrating brown eyes practically nailing me to the floor.
No, that's not all. Will Macmillan be coming back to work soon?
Well,
I wouldn't think so. He's still in San Francisco receiving treatments for his Parkinson's disease. The prince grunts loudly. Has his replacement been found yet?
Is this guy a moron?
I'm his replacement, sir. I thought you knew that. My spine straightens, making me very close to his own height with my new shoes.
I was under the impression you were a temp.
His eyebrow cocks in such a supercilious manner. It's all I can do not to punch him. I started out that way, but I was informed last week that I was doing such a good job, I was being made a permanent member of your staff.
Put that in your pipe.
Who told you that? He demands angrily. Instead of letting me answer that the master of household himself told me, Andrew continues,
As far as I'm concerned, you are not permanent.
How in the world am I supposed to respond to that? The whole point of me working in the royal household is to make a strong enough connection to open my own employment agency. Once I do that, I'll be able to supply staff to the palace. The only way that's going to happen is to impress my current boss, the same man who appears to hate me. So while I want to take my shoe off and smack Andrew over the head with the sharp pointed heel, I force myself to ask, Is there something you'd like me to do that I'm not currently doing? His glare darkens as he takes a step forward. I stand rooted to the floor, unable to look away.
You're a woman.
How astute of you. Yes, my response is snotty, but I've had just about enough of being treated like a disposable entity by this patronizing man.
Excuse me.
Another step. Prince Andrew, my being a woman in no way hinders my ability to perform my duties with precision. In fact, I would argue that my being a woman makes me more efficient.
How do you figure that?
How in the world did I have a crush on this arrogant beast throughout my entire adolescence? I don't care how gorgeous he is. The prince is not a nice man. Let me rephrase that. He's not nice to me. He seems to love everyone else. Women are much better multitaskers than men. I raise one finger in the air to start ticking off my points. Another finger goes up. We're very attuned to details. More join in. We're empathetic, nurturing, and are able to see more than what is required of us. If I don't stop talking now, I may truly be out of a job.
And you're saying these qualities are inherent to your sex, that men do not possess them?
If he walks any closer to me, he'll be standing behind me. I force my gaze up to meet his. That's what I'm saying.
Prove it.
I reach up and pick an invisible piece of fluff from his collar. Your shirt is starting to fray. I turn my gaze back to his in a challenging manner. Your valet is a man, is he not?
You know he is.
If your valet were a woman, you would be wearing an impeccable shirt with no sign of wear. That may or may not be an accurate statement, as I've made up the sorry condition of his apparel. It appears that women can also be liars when it suits them.
Are you now applying for the job of my valet?
I know he's being facetious. But I can't help the stirring I feel at the thought of what that job would entail. Assisting Andrew in the bath, or shower if needed. Helping him go from a naked state to a clothed one. Undressing him for bed at night. It's getting hot in here. I don't want Finley's job. I'm merely saying that women are more detail-oriented. That's all.
I leave my bedchamber at 8 o'clock every morning.
How lovely for you. I mean, seriously, what else am I going to say?
You will now meet me there at 7:45 and inspect my clothing for any imperfections before I start my day.
But I don't come to work until 9. Surely he doesn't expect me to get here early to make sure another member of his staff is doing his job.
You now arrive at 7:30 so that you can get to my rooms by 7:45.
He leans down so menacingly. If he were a tiger, I'd be afraid for my life.
That is, if you want to keep your position. If you're unable to do so, I'll gladly hire a man to replace you.
So that's his game. He's actively looking for a way to get rid of me. If the success of my future agency wasn't on the line, I'd turn around and walk out of his office without a backward glance. Unfortunately, that action will not aid my plans. Would you like me to bring your coffee up with me? I mean, hell, if I'm moonlighting as his valet's helper, maybe he wants me to take on some kitchen duties.
I think I can trust the kitchen to deliver my coffee.
He cocks his head to the side before adding,
unless you care to complain about them as well.
I shake my head vigorously, hoping to activate some good sense. I really don't need to get into any more trouble. I look at my watch and see that it's nearing 5. If I'm expected back here so early, I'll head out now.
I'm afraid I'll still need you here until 6 o'clock every day.
Being that I've never seen him past our 4 o'clock meeting since the day I started working for him, I'm certain this is a lie. Which, of course, can only mean one thing. Prince Andrew has just declared war on me. Chapter 2. Queen Charlotte.
How are things going with Drew's new secretary? King Alfred asks his wife, while helping her latch her necklace for dinner.
I don't know, and it's been driving me crazy. Every time I try to inquire, that son of ours acts like his lips have been sewn shut.
Maybe he's not taken with Agnes. I know you're looking at her as a potential mate for Drew, but I don't think he agrees with you.
Charlotte turns in her husband's arms and reaches up to kiss his chin. Then you're missing the subtleties in his behavior.
I don't think I am, the king counters.
Andrew is always surly whenever Agnes is around.
Releasing a short burst of laughter, Alfred asks, which means he wants to marry her?
Which means, Charlotte says, she affects him.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but maybe he just doesn't like her.
Alfred, if he didn't like her, he would act indifferently instead of annoyed all the time.
Charlotte, my love.
The king pulls his wife closer.
I think you see things where you want to see things.
I'm sorry, but who was it who helped Alistair and Aubrey find their mates?
I know you've played an important part in two of our children finding love, but that doesn't mean you'll be successful with Andrew.
Charlotte crosses her arms in front of her, effectively pushing her husband back a couple of steps. Do you want to put a wager on that?
Smiling lovingly at her, Alfred says, I do not wager against my wife. I know you can do anything you set your mind to, so if you're determined something of a romantic nature happen between our son and his secretary, I'll do everything I can to support that outcome.
That kind of thinking is exactly why you're so happily married. Charlotte steps into her husband's arms. Laying her head against his chest, she adds, I'm not saying Agnes is the one. All I'm saying is that I have a strong feeling she might be.
Prince Andrew. Agnes Dupree is going to drive me insane. It's not that she doesn't do her job well. She certainly does that. It's just that she's so... I hate to admit this to myself, but it's because she's so beautiful. Spending time with her preoccupies me to the point where it's become difficult for me to focus on whatever task is at hand. I know a lot of people think that being a prince is no big deal as far as work goes. In their eyes, it's just one big party after another. But being the heir is an entirely different story. While my siblings host, show up to, or lend their names to certain events, that's all they have to do. Meanwhile, I have actual governmental responsibilities in addition to being seen at all major affairs in our capital. Now I've gone and made my life even more stressful by scheduling more time with my secretary. Agnes had every right to storm out of my office this afternoon. I behaved like a cat. The truth is, I revere women like only a son of an extraordinary woman can. I know they can do anything they set their minds to. I realize they are the stronger sex in many ways. So why couldn't I just leave well enough alone and let Agnes have one small win? I'll tell you why. I'm afraid one small win will lead to my undoing. I'm attracted to Agnes, and I cannot be with her. There's been enough gossip circulating about my family ever since my dad married my mother. My grandparents were not in favor of their match, so the headlines were particularly scathing. Speculation over Mum's capability lasted a very long time. Luckily, the Queen has proven herself again and again to our country as a highly competent ruler, as well as a loving wife and mother. But then her six kids grew up. My youngest sister, Cherie, is married to her wife, Brigitte. They live in Paris with their daughter. And while Cherie was the first of us to settle down, she was also a wild child with a chip on her shoulder the size of a moon crater. She made a spectacle of herself in the press from the time she knew what flipping the bird meant. And believe me when I say, her shocking behavior only grew from there. My brother Jeffrey wanted nothing to do with being a prince, so he went to the States for university before going to culinary school there. Instead of coming home and picking up some of the royal slack, he got a job at a lodge in Oregon and pretended to be someone else. My brother Alistair has finally settled down, but not before parading every woman he could get his hands on in front of the press. My sister Aubrey was a particular nightmare in the love department, but she's settled down as well. Now there's just me and Sophie. Sophie had been engaged to Baron Harcourt. It was thought to be a love match until Thomas informed my sister that he had no intention of getting rid of his mistress once they were wed. Sophie broke off the engagement and has been so despondent ever since, I fear she's given up on the thought of marrying at all. With all the theatrics that have gone on before me, is it any wonder I want to marry a woman who won't have all the tongues on the continent wagging with conjecture and disapproval? The only problem is, I can't seem to find someone to fit the bill who doesn't bore me to death. Enter my sister's secretary, Agnes Dupree. Bree suggested Agnes take Macmillan's place when he got sick, and before I could find my own man, my mother jumped on board and made sure Agnes got the job. You'd think a queen would have more pressing matters to take care of. Now I'm stuck with a confoundingly beautiful and skilled assistant who's charged with making my life run smoothly. And while Agnes keeps a tight calendar and makes sure I'm where I'm meant to be when I'm meant to be there, she's having a sizable impact on my blood pressure. Picking up the telephone on my desk, I punch in the 3-digit code that will connect me with the master of household. My call is answered after only one ring.
Your Highness, how may I be of assistance?
Bennett asks. I'd like to know why Agnes Dupree was made my permanent secretary without anyone asking me first.
Sir, I assure you I did not make that call on my own. I suggested discussing the matter with you, but your mother said it wouldn't be necessary. She told me you were delighted by the job Ms. Dupree was doing, so she went ahead and made her title official.
Of course she did. I see. Well, in that case, I should mention that Agnes will be arriving to work early as of tomorrow. I would like for you to let her know that if she's not here by 7:30 every morning, she will only be given one warning before her employment is terminated.
Yes. I'll see to it. May I ask what additional duties Ms. Dupuy is meant to execute so I can better keep an eye on her?
No, you may not. I will let you know if her performance is up to snuff, and nothing my mother can say will contradict that. Have I made myself clear?
Yes, Your Highness. I shall refer to you for all future staffing concerns.
Only the ones that directly relate to me, please.
Of course, sir.
Thank you, Bennett. I hang up the telephone before he can say anything else. My gaze travels to the door Agnes recently walked through. I don't need her to stay until 6 tonight, but I'm not going to tell her that. Let her use the time to think about how much she really wants this job. Hopefully, after tomorrow morning, she'll decide on her own that working for me is more trouble than it's worth. While I'm relieved to have the evening ahead of me without my secretary's presence, I can't help but feel a small pang. Agnes Dupree is like no other woman I've ever met. She doesn't treat me like a prince in a fairy tale. She doesn't swoon or fawn over me like every morsel of attention I throw her way will save her from starvation. No. Agnes treats me like she would any other employer. The reality of this both impresses me and infuriates me. Even though nothing romantic can ever occur between us, if I want to maintain any decorum with the press, I would still like to know that she's as bothered by me as I am by her.
Chapter 3. Amelia. "You're dressed early," Amelia tells her daughter as she joins her in the kitchen. Pouring herself a cup of coffee in a travel mug, Agnes gruffly replies, "I have to go into work early today." "How is your job going, anyway? You've hardly spoken two words about it since you've started." After blowing on the contents of her cup, Agnes takes a sip before answering, "That's because I've signed a stack of non-disclosure agreements, which clearly state I'm not allowed to discuss the royal family's personal lives with anyone." "But I'm your mum. Surely they don't mean you can't talk to me." Agnes nails her mother with an intense stare. "I'm pretty sure those agreements are in place because a mother of some palace staff member told secrets to the press to pad her travel fund or some such." Amelia's spine straightens while she points at her daughter. "Mothers are worried about their children. They are not gossip mongers." Screwing the lid on her coffee, Agnes replies, "So what you and Mrs. Bassett talk about over the back fence is concern for your children and not idle gossip that's none of your business?" "I have no idea what you're talking about," Amelia scoffs. "My bedroom window overlooks the rose garden, Mum. I've overheard several conversations recently regarding your and Mrs. Bassett's interference in the lives of Grady and Princess Aubrey. I tried to get you together with Grady first." "That's your defense. You tried to interfere with my life first?" Amelia shrugs her shoulders nonchalantly. "I can't just sit around and wait for you to do something about finding a husband. I'm relying on you to make me a grandmother, which, might I add, is something I'd like to be before you put me away in a home." "You're not even 60, Mum." Gathering up her purse from off the counter, Agnes says, "Quit being overly dramatic. You know my plan is to open my own agency and have it well established before I take time off to raise a family." "Yes, but you're not even looking for your spouse yet. Surely that's something you can do now." Agnes shakes her head while inhaling deeply. "Trust the job you've done raising me and let me make my own choices. Because honestly, while it's a great help living here so I can save money, I will happily move out if you keep interfering. Please, Mum." Instead of agreeing, Amelia stands up and glides over to her daughter. After kissing her on the cheek, she says, "You have a lovely day, dear." Then she walks out of the room, intent on making sure her future machinations go undetected. Agnes. "As if I don't have enough things going on, I can now add worry about my mother overstepping herself to the list. I didn't really mind when she and Jackie gossiped about the possibility of Grady and me getting together. I like Grady a lot. He's smart and funny and very easy on the eyes. If not for the fact that he and Princess Aubrey have adored each other since childhood, I might have even had a chance. Although I'm not sure I really wanted one. Grady and I grew up next door to each other, but he was 3 years older. We never socialized beyond the odd wave when we were coming or going. Even so, I used to stare out the front door incessantly, hoping to see him. Well, not him, really. I was hoping to see who he was with. Grady and Prince Alistair have been best friends since they were in primary school, and, as such, Prince Andrew was often with them. He was the one I had my eye on, along with every other girl in town. Too bad I didn't know then what a horrible man he would turn out to be. I could have redirected all that teenage pining and angst and learned 6 new languages. Minimum. Putting my coffee cup down on the front table, I pull a light jacket from the entry hall closet before plucking my keys out of my purse. Once I'm out of the house and settled behind the wheel, I turn on the ignition and check the time. 7:20. Crap, that barely gives me enough time to get to the palace. Forgetting my coffee, I direct all my attentions toward navigating the path to work. I don't even turn on the radio because I don't want to be distracted. I speed, roll through a couple of stop signs, and still only manage to pull into the staff parking lot at 7:28. After picking up my purse, I trot toward the back entrance which the staff uses. It's 7:30 on the nose when my phone rings. I think about ignoring it, but decide I'd better at least look to see who's calling. It's Prince Andrew. Hello? I try valiantly not to sound like I've just sprinted a 3-minute kilometer. The result is some breathy puff that makes me sound like Marilyn Monroe having an asthma attack.
I'm just checking to make sure you've arrived, comes his terse reply.
Yes, of course. I'm on my way up to your apartment now. There goes any thought of stopping off in the kitchen for a scone. I didn't think to grab anything at home, and my stomach is starting to wake up and demand sustenance.
Excellent. I would hate to start my day looking unkempt.
He hangs up before saying anything else, which is probably a good thing. I'm currently in the frame of mind where I might accidentally give him a piece of my mind. Andrew's apartment is on the other side of the palace from my office, which means I don't have time to drop off my purse and jacket. After running up 3 flights of stairs, I stop to catch my breath. While tucking away a few stray hairs that have sprung loose from my chignon, I walk briskly down a long hallway that leads to the royal apartments. Currently, Princess Sophie and Prince Andrew live in this wing, along with whatever extended family and dignitaries are visiting. As the heir to the throne, Andrew lives in Apartment 1, which is reported to be the most opulent and impressive of all the royal apartments, next to the king and queens, of course. I've never actually seen it, as the prince spends most of his time in his office, which is next to mine. Stopping in front of the prince's apartment, I hurry to make sure my blouse is properly buttoned and securely tucked into my pantyhose. If I'm being honest, other than Andrew, the worst part of working in the palace is having to wear nylons. I'm not a fan of feeling like a bratwurst in a casing. I curl my hand into a fist, but right before it connects, the door opens. It's my boss, in a robe.
Good morning, Your Highness. I hope you slept well, I say while averting my gaze from his bare legs. I hope he got a cramp in the middle of the night that made it impossible for him to get any rest at all.
Agnes, come in.
He steps aside to let me enter. While I should keep a poker face expression, as is my job, I don't. I breeze past him before stopping dead in my tracks and gasping like a heroine in a romance novel. The front room is gorgeous. It's full of dark paneling and walls painted in a rich, deep navy. The light upholstered furniture saves the room from being cave-like. The ceiling is at least 4 meters high, but most likely closer to 5. There are numerous chandeliers, and the windows are enormous, allowing the morning light to pour in and spotlighting the exquisite hunting scenes on the walls. It's not like I've never seen such grandeur. I work at the palace, after all. So then, why am I so affected by this room?
I don't have a chance to investigate my reaction, because Andrew orders, come with me. I try to keep up as...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?